This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Cities across the country are trying to revive their downtowns. Many of them are hoping that downtown shopping malls, stadiums, aquariums, and convention centers will do the trick. My guests are two urban experts who are skeptical of the mega project approach. Roberta Brandis Gratz and Norman Mintz have studied downtowns across the country and have written a new book called Cities: Back from the Edge, New Life for Downtown. Gratz is a journalist and urban critic. Mintz is a design director at the Grand Central Partnership in New York City. He's consulted on downtown revitalization projects across the country. I asked them about some of the trends they're seeing in the attempts to revive downtowns.
It's kind of interesting. There's sort of the good news, bad news all happening at the same time. The bad news is that there are too many cities chasing the same magic bullet. The stadium, the casino, the big mega projects, what we call in the book the project plans, and they just don't work. They don't regenerate a city. They replace a city. They displace the opportunity for the kind of multiplicity of actions and activity and people and uses that make up our genuine city. At the same time, wherever there is a traditional urban neighborhood left, usually an old warehouse district, a manufacturing industrial area, there are people of all ages, all stages of life, and all ethnic and religious backgrounds moving back into these urban neighborhoods and enlivening them in ways that we haven't seen since before World War II, much on the pattern of Soho in New York. And we, in the book, we call this the Soho syndrome, and it is clearly happening everywhere, and that's the great news.
There seem to be two goals that are coming together right now in a lot of cities. One is to revitalize the downtown, and the other is to bring in lots of tourists and all those tourist dollars to help revitalize the economy in general. Do those two things go together well, bringing in the big tourist dollars and revitalizing the downtown?
They only go together well when there is a real balance. And in very few of the most celebrated places is there a balance, because what we're seeing is a pattern of big tourist attractions that bring people in and out of town directly, usually in their car, into a garage and out of the garage, that doesn't really connect them to the city itself. It also requires great public investment. And I don't care what place we're talking about, where they tell you it's built with private funds, you're not looking at the full story. There's a lot of private investment, but there is public infrastructure money. There's public tax forgiveness money. There are all sorts of public investment that are going into tourist attractions instead of into the kind of things that make a city that actually regenerate a city. In Cleveland, for example, which is one of the most celebrated, they've spent several billion dollars on a stadium, on a museum, on a light rail connecting in between. But the school system is just about bankrupt. The public dollars that go into the big tourist attractions are in one way or another not going into the city itself, not reconnecting the urban fabric, not stimulating local businesses, local economy, the connections among people, the residential patterns. Yet in a place like Cleveland, which is such an interesting contradiction, because there is a pattern of rebirth in the warehouse district and downtown, people wanting to move downtown, not because there's a stadium there and not because there's a museum that they don't go to, but because there are urban areas left to really regenerate. That's where the city should really be focusing its investment and attention if the goal is truly to regenerate a city.
So many of these cities seem to rely on formula type of thinking. They become desperate in their desire to want to do something and then just reach out and say, well, gee, tourism is something that we should do a lot for, building a baseball stadium, building a convention center, and so forth. And that's, you know, it's obvious, and it's, again, thinking that's going to happen overnight. And by all means, cities just don't happen overnight. They took hundreds of years to develop, and it does take a long time to achieve the things that we talk about in the book. And it's basically, perhaps in many cases, a lot more difficult to achieve, and it does take some thinking and creativity, but it gets at the essence of what a city is all about.
Also, if I may add one last thing, there's a very simple bottom line that I like to say about this, and that is, if you do something, anything, everything for local people, the tourists will come. If you do it for the tourists, you will lose the local people, and eventually you will lose the tourists as well.
Why do you say the tourists will come if you do something for the local people? Because for the local people, what you're doing might be, say, a nice farmer's market, some nice shopping, restaurants or something. And I don't know that people would travel from another city.
But that's where people are going. People are coming in to cities from everywhere for the nightlife, for the shopping life, for the cultural life. They're coming in where there are places of activity. You look at where the tourist attraction, those cities that tourists go to in this country today, are the cities, the downtowns that have been regenerated over time, and are the ones that are probably the longest at the reborning game, so to speak. It's Savannah, it's Charleston, it's Santa Fe, it's San Antonio, San Francisco. These are places that have regenerated incremental, unplanned, accidental kind of regeneration that have been piece by piece, block by block, people by people. No grand plan, no big public investment. We tell in detail the story of the rebirth of Soho because it is such a model of how this rebirth process actually works. And we point out what people have either don't know or have forgotten, that Soho was destined to be replaced by a Lower Manhattan Expressway. Soho emerged because a highway was defeated. Once the highway was defeated and artists were able to move into the cheap spaces that had been vacated by businesses leaving because the buildings were condemned and due to be torn down, there was no public investment. There was no plan. It was people moving in who got the city to pay attention, and then the city responded issue by issue, policy by policy, designating it a historic district, making it legal for artists to live in industrial buildings, doing all these things, following the lead of the citizens who moved into the place. If you look at the plans in a lot of cities today, for example, in Detroit, which has gone crazy out of its head with three casinos and two stadiums in a city where there is really a fabric left to rebuild. If you were to wipe out Soho and put in a stadium, that's the choice that they're making in places like Detroit. They're giving up the opportunity for a genuine city to regenerate for the people and the economy of the place, to trade it in for an occasionally used either stadium or casino for outsiders.
Do you think artists and young people in general aren't given enough credit for revitalizing neighborhoods?
Absolutely. They should be given more credit than some of the experts and the professionals who like to claim the credit after it's already happened, when in fact, if they've done anything right, they have followed the citizens who have been in there when the experts said this was not going to happen.
You know, artists have long been in the vanguard and have really paved the way for the type of development we were talking about. They've always been brave. They've always been creative, pioneers often. But they see and have the imagination to understand what the real issues are about and are willing to invest and put up with some of the things that perhaps many people might not like, but they see as being minor to the quality of life that they see in living in a city.
But also, I think you have to think back that The nature of art really took a shift in the 60s when artists went for big outdoor and big indoor pieces and needed the kind of big space that even outgrew the usual sort of artist atelier kind of thing. And that's how places like Soho and other industrial neighborhoods around the country became so popular, because of the space they offered and the loading docks they offered. But, you know, historically, it's very interesting, but Greenwich Village was the artist's place in the 30s and 40s and even through the 50s. But a lot of artists were being displaced from Greenwich Village in the renewal days of 50s and 60s. So we've seen this pattern happen before. And the mistake, actually, a lot of places are now making is they're trying to do things for artists with the idea that if we get the artists in, everything else will be great. Well, you cannot reduce success to a formula that can be applied everywhere. Each place has its own character, its own local assets, and those are the things that need to be built on for a genuine regeneration to take place.
Well, are you arguing that cities just shouldn't do anything and let things happen?
Not at all. But we're arguing you can reduce it to two fundamentals and then a lot of additional points. But one is not to give up on a place, not to ignore its local assets, not to think that just because a place somewhat degenerated over a period of time has no value for the future, for future regeneration, and therefore you wipe it out and you replace it with a stadium. That's the thing that you don't do. The thing that you do is follow, build on, value, and invest in what you already have. It is proactive, but it's not massive. It's not as expensive and requiring of big mega plans. It's much more down on the ground, community based, community involved, people involved in a process that one must give time to sort of take a certain direction and let it evolve, not pre-plan at all.
You know, downtown revitalization certainly just doesn't happen by itself. It's a big effort, but it's one that we want to remind communities. In so many communities we go to, large and small, people seem to have a bad feeling about their own neighborhoods. That'll never happen here, or it's gone too far. And I do feel that they need to be positive in every case. They have to look at their community and feel hope for it, and to realize that their community is different from every other community, and to rest their meetings and their planning and their efforts in the regard that they've got something that's worthwhile saving, something worthwhile enhancing. It does take a long time, but to just use that positive attitude and to recognize the fact that their community is different, and that will help them in recognizing that their community, because it's different, will make a big difference for people who live there and who are going to visit.
My guests are the authors of the new book, Cities, Back from the Edge, New Life for Downtown. Roberta Gratz is a journalist and urban critic. Norman Mintz is a consultant on downtown revitalizations across the country. We'll talk more after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Roberta Gratz and Norman Mintz. They're the co-authors of the new book, Cities, Back from the Edge, New Life for Downtown. It seems to be some of the most kind of flourishing stores now in downtowns are the cafes. There seems to be a cafe on every corner in a lot of cities now, sometimes two, and bookstores. And most of those bookstores have cafes in them. What does that say to you about what people are looking for now?
It's so interesting. At the time of the internet, when so many prognosticators are telling us that we can all live this solitary life with our computer out in the woods and not be in a city or a downtown and not need all that, we seem as a people to be showing that the opposite is true. We are a social animal. We need to be together. We need even to be at the same table with a stranger reading a book in a bookstore. There is something about gathering places that defines a downtown. What a lot of the bookstores have done is fill a vacuum as cities have built these megastructures with atriums that have placed stores inside, and they've closed the street entrance and they've taken away the coffee shops and everything. We've lost the kind of street life in a lot of cities that defines a city. So bookstores have shown us that need and is still there, that pattern can be revived. And we're seeing in more places than not a rebirth of the street side cafe, which is the most important street feature in a city.
Do you think that an intelligent parking policy is an important part of downtown revival? For example, in a lot of cities, including the one I live in, you can't park in the downtown during morning and afternoon rush hour, which is exactly the time that you're most likely to want to stop on your way home or your way into work to pick something up. On the other hand, if you can park, that would really bottle up traffic, particularly
right.
In a city like the one I live in that has narrow streets. So tell me more about what you think an intelligent parking policy is in a downtown.
Well, let's put it another way, Terry. When our cities function best, they function best because parking was not the ultimate goal. Transit was. We have totally erased in this country the greatest mass transit system the world saw in our post-World War II rush to build highways, cars, and become an auto-dependent society. We have succeeded beyond our wildest dreams. In your city, Philadelphia, you were able at one time, and from some of your neighborhoods, you still can get to downtown by transit, but you can't get there fast and efficient and cost efficiently like you used to be able to. That should be your goal, not to make more parking, because once you are car dependent, you reduce your pedestrian activity. The object is to be pedestrian oriented and transit oriented, and then your parking problem to some extent solves itself, because again, it's like we said early on about tourism and local residents and businesses, it's all a matter of balance. You don't eliminate the car, but you minimize the dependency on the car. You have to give people the option of being able to come downtown by transit as well as by car.
Leave us with a description of one of your favorite revitalized downtowns.
Well, it's hard to choose because they all have different aspects. But I think the one that surprised me the most and I seem to use the most as an example of the way things work well is Denver, downtown Denver, lower downtown Denver. And Denver is so much a story of local people fighting to preserve and reuse the remaining part of its downtown that wasn't wiped out and urban renewed during the heyday of pave-over planning. And you have everything from a marvelously recycled department store to wonderful industrial buildings now being used for both business and residence, to street-level shops that have been recycled, to restored hotels. And lo and behold, you even have a stadium that was built adjacent to it, right up to it on street side, not surrounded by heavy parking. You have a reinstitution of transit. You have parking spread out around the city, not concentrated. You have new nightlife, a lot of pedestrian activity. It's got its downsides, but it I think it says it all.
I'd like to vote for a smaller community. Holland, Michigan is a favorite of mine because it is a small community and shows that small communities can do some of the things that large cities can do, and that is to bring people downtown to enjoy, to shop. The fascinating thing about Holland are the shops. They're all independently owned shops. You've never seen them before. Many of them come right from the local resources, the talents, the people themselves. And walking down the main street of Holland is just a unique experience. And there are little cafes on the sidewalks, lots of nice shade trees. But again, it's the stores, the quality of the stores, the size of the stores, and the people that own the stores that make a big difference.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Roberta Brandis Gratz and Norman Mintz are the authors of Cities, Back from the Edge, New Life for Downtown.